Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science interviews and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, a great time for skywatchers to see the center of our galaxy and amazing star formation 5 billion light years away at the Phoenix Galaxy Cluster. Here's a scientist soundbite.
The band of the Milky Way is particularly broad and bright in the night sky in the month of August, and it can be seen from the entire Earth, any place where you have a dark sky.
You're listening to Skywatcher Deborah Bird. More with her later, but first, science news of the week with Michael Brennan and Emily Howard.
On August 14th, a powerful 7.7 magnitude earthquake struck deep in the Sea of Okhotsk off the east coast of Russia and north of Japan's northern island of Hokkaido. The tremor was felt as far away as Tokyo, over 1,000 miles or 1,600 kilometers away. No tsunami warning was issued, and there have been no reports of injuries or casualties.
The new Mars rover, Curiosity, has been on Mars now since its daring and unprecedented landing on August 5th and 6th. The landing captured the world's imagination, and since then, the rover has been capturing wonderful photos of Mars. See our top 10 favorite photos from the Curiosity rover at earthsky.org.
New research has found that declining American eel populations are starting to recover after the removal of the Embry Dam on the Rappahannock River in Virginia. The research was published on July 20th in the journal Transactions of American Fisheries Society.
The popular spice turmeric packs more than just flavor. It shows promise in fighting devastating viruses. Curcumin, found in turmeric, stopped the potentially deadly Rift Valley fever virus from multiplying in infected cells, according to new research published this month in the Journal of Biological Chemistry. That's Science News of the Week. I'm Michael Brennan.
And I'm Emily Howard. This week's Song of the Week is by Wild Child off their debut full-length album, Pillow Talk. This one's called Bridges Burning.
Thank you.
I need you to wait for me. I want you to wait. I know the bridge is burning fast.
Find us as Earth Sky on Facebook, Earth Sky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. Deborah Bird joins us now with news of the global night sky. This is a great time to see the center of the galaxy we find ourselves in. Welcome, Deborah.
Hey, Jorge. So we live in a galaxy. It's called the Milky Way. And if you go to a dark location, you can see the galaxy from the inside in the night sky. And that's because the galaxy we live in is flat like a pancake, or like a, you know, an old LP phonograph record people used to...
What's that?
Yeah, because it spins, you know, the galaxy spins too. But anyway, the galaxy is very flat. And so most of the stars are in this flat part of the galaxy. So we are also in the flat part of the galaxy. And so as we look at our night sky, we look edgewise into this plane of the galaxy. And on our sky, we see a band of stars crossing the night sky. That band is also called the Milky Way.
And Deborah, what about the center of our galaxy?
Well, in the Northern Hemisphere summer or Southern Hemisphere winter, it so happens that our evening sky is turned toward the center of the galaxy. And we here orbiting the sun are kind of on the outskirts of the galaxy. So as we look toward the center of the galaxy in the evening in the month of August, we see more stars in that direction than we see in the winter, 6 months from now, when we're looking toward the outskirts of the galaxy and toward deep space. So the band of the Milky Way is particularly broad and bright in the night sky in the month of August. And it can be seen from the entire Earth, any place where you have a dark sky.
I think you can actually see, if the sky's dark enough, you can actually see the bulge of the center of our galaxy.
Yeah, you actually can see that bulge. And if you have binoculars, Jorge, you know that you should bring them with you on your trip to go see the Milky Way galaxy, because you'll see clusters, like knots and clumps within that Milky Way. And those are actual clusters of stars in our Milky Way galaxy. And another thing you'll see is some areas that, instead of being bright, are dark. And those are clouds, too. They're dark clouds in the Milky Way, often where new stars are forming.
A great time to get acquainted with our galaxy. What about the moon, though? For sky watchers, the moon is always something to be looking out for.
Yeah, well, the moon can interfere with your view of the Milky Way. So this program is coming out on August 18th, and I'm hoping that you're hearing it sometime close to there. Around the 18th, there is no moon in the evening sky. The moon doesn't start coming back to the evening sky until around the 20th, 21st, somewhere in there. And even then, it's a little thin crescent moon that'll show up in the west after sunset. So it shouldn't interfere too much with seeing the Milky Way galaxy, but that little crescent moon will do something else for you sky watchers out there.
What's that?
Well, the planets Mars and Saturn have been putting on quite a show in the evening sky. And wow, I mean, we didn't even mention this prior to this because there were so many other things going on, like the meteor shower and all this stuff, exciting stuff was happening. In the meantime, the planets Mars and Saturn and a little star called Spica, actually one of the brightest stars in the sky, made a triangle in the west after sunset with Saturn above, Mars on the right, and Spica, the star Spica, on the left. So many people looked outside in the western sky and saw this little triangle, this little strange triangle of objects, and were like, whoa, what is that triangle, you know? So it was these two planets and this star. Around mid-August, just this past week, the planet Mars sort of moved and began to move in between Saturn and Mars. And so now, in this coming week, when you see, or for the rest of the month, when you see the triangle of these two planets in this star in the west after sunset, you're going to see the planet Mars on the right, the planet Saturn up above, and the star Spica below. So what's going to happen around the 20th and 21st is that little waxing crescent moon that I mentioned is coming back to the evening sky, and it's going to sweep right past this little triangle of objects and make for some really beautiful scenes in the evening sky.
That's amazing. And if you open your eye of your imagination, you may be able to visualize our Curiosity rover on Mars right now.
Absolutely, the Curiosity rover, and it's, you know, it made its dramatic landing on August 5th and 6th. It's in the Gale Crater on Mars, so, you know, open up your mind's eye, and when you look at the planet Mars, picture that rover up there getting ready to do its science journey across the surface of Mars.
Yeah, and after, as the evening gets darker and darker, look for that galactic center.
That's right, the Milky Way.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird. And we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. Earth Sky. We interview the world's top scientists. Scientists have discovered something amazing about one of the largest objects in the universe. They call it the Phoenix Galaxy Cluster. Thousands of galaxies bound by gravity at a distance of 5.7 billion light years from Earth. It's so big, it would take light over 7 million years to go from one end to the other. But what's remarkable is the furious pace of star formation. Every Earth day, about 2 stars are formed, the highest rate scientists have found in the universe. On the line to talk more about the Phoenix Galaxy Cluster is astronomer Ryan Foley of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and he's the co-author of the study published in the journal Nature. Dr. Foley, welcome.
Thank you.
What are the main findings of your study of a cluster of galaxies over 5 billion light years from Earth?
Well, just to step back, clusters of galaxies are the largest collapsed systems in the universe, and they have sometimes thousands of galaxies similar to the Milky Way. And in these unique systems, there's the galaxies are actually a minority of the mass of that system. Most of it's in a very hot, million-degree gas that's invisible to our eyes, but is very luminous in X-rays. And theoretically, we have predicted that that gas should slowly cool and coalesce in the centers of these galaxy clusters and start forming stars. But we really have not seen that prediction happen in nature until now. With this new galaxy cluster, we're seeing what appears to be that hot reservoir of gas slowly cooling down to the point where it can form stars at a rate that's several hundred times what we form in the Milky Way, and, you know, significantly more than what we find in other galaxy clusters. So this is making us rethink how the galaxies and galaxy clusters grow with size. Before, we thought it was mostly through multiple galaxies coming together and merging into a single bigger cluster of stars. And now we think that a significant number of new stars might be forming through these sorts of events.
Why is this galaxy cluster called the Phoenix?
We thought that galaxy clusters mostly form their stars early in the universe, and then that process stopped. And the stars just sort of lived their life for billions of years after that without creating new stars. But what we think is that in this particular galaxy cluster, that process has restarted. And we call it the Phoenix Cluster both because it's in the Phoenix constellation, but also because of this rebirth where new stars are being born much later than what we had thought originally.
Potentially thousands of stars are created each Earth year in this Phoenix cluster. Why is this so unusual?
Most galaxy clusters form very few stars this late in the cosmic time. Most of them, they'll form similar amounts of stars to the Milky Way, each galaxy, or even significantly less. And this one galaxy at the center of this cluster is forming about 700 times that every year. And so it's just a significantly extreme outlier in how much stars are being created relative to both normal galaxies like the Milky Way and, in particular, galaxies in galaxy clusters.
How did the scientists involved find and study the Phoenix Cluster? What methods were used?
Well, we studied this cluster using a large number of facilities across the electromagnetic spectrum. It was originally found using a telescope at the South Pole. This telescope observes the sky in microwaves. The main focus of the telescope is to observe the echo of the Big Bang, what we call the cosmic microwave background. And this is something that's everywhere in the sky. You can look in any direction and see it. But where there's a galaxy cluster, the gas in the galaxy cluster distorts what we see a little bit, and so you can find galaxy clusters by looking for that distortion. That's how this galaxy cluster was originally discovered. It was followed up in the X-ray, and we noticed that it is the most luminous X-ray galaxy cluster that we've seen yet. We followed it up in the optical and ultraviolet. We've noticed that as well as it being an incredibly massive galaxy cluster, it also has a very blue central galaxy, indicative of a significant amount of star formation. But in total, we've looked at this galaxy cluster with close to 10 different observatories, from space-based to ground-based, from the edges of low Earth orbit all the way down to Antarctica.
Why are scientists trying to understand galaxy clusters, structures billions of light years away?
Galaxy clusters are a very extreme point in the universe. They're the densest environments around where there are significant numbers of galaxies and stars. And it ends up being an extreme laboratory for different types of astrophysics. And learning about how galaxies form and evolve in such an extreme environment can help us then understand how galaxies like the Milky Way can evolve in a less extreme environment. And then further, we can understand how our solar system was formed and how it evolved. And hopefully we can set ourselves in the context of the entire universe, see where our place is in the universe.
What's a star formation 5 billion light years away have to do with where we find ourselves today here in our Milky Way galaxy?
Well, so, at the end of the day, we still have a lot of open questions about how stars form, how galaxies form, how they evolve over time, how important it is for different galaxies to interact with each other and merge potentially, and how that affects the different parts of the galaxies, stars and clouds of gas, and how that triggers star formation, how the stars react to that. And when you have the ability to look at something in such an extreme environment, then you can probe the very edges of your understanding of these different processes. And so this is one of these cases where we're able to really probe the very extreme, and hopefully that'll test our knowledge of what happens in more typical situations like our own Milky Way.
What's the next step in understanding galaxy clusters, the largest structures in the universe?
Well, we found one now, and that's interesting. We're going to do more detailed studies of this one galaxy cluster. But the next big step is to discover more, hopefully, figure out the characteristics of a sample of these galaxy clusters, and then understand their characteristics in that broad sample. And then we can have sort of a better understanding of what exactly is causing this extreme star formation, how long that star formation lasts, what the likelihood is of it happening in different types of galaxy clusters, things like that. But to do that, we need to find them first.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about the discovery of star formation at the Phoenix Galaxy Cluster?
The most important thing that the public should know is that this work could not have been done without taxpayer-supported basic science research. And without the support of the NSF or NASA to build the facilities to find and study these sorts of systems, we just couldn't get this kind of work done. So it's important for people to understand how important their tax dollars are, and really that scientists are very grateful for that sort of support.
You've been listening to astronomer Ryan Foley. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. That's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at Earth Sky Studio B in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Ryan Britton, and Deborah Bird. Special thanks this week to our musical contributors: Wild Child, Sleep Good, Maneja Beto, 100 Flowers, and The Black and White Years. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next stage. There are so many artists, too much art, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next stage. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night.